Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the All Digi Tech Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Capital Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Rabak from IIFL Capital Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and thank you for joining us on the post-Q4 FY25 results conference call for All Digi Tech Limited. It is my pleasure to introduce the senior management team of All Digi Tech who are here with us today to discuss the results. We have Mr. Nauzir Dalal, CEO, and Mr. Avinash Jain, CFO. We will begin the call with the opening remarks by the management team, and thereafter, we will open the call for a Q&A session. I would like to now hand over the call to Mr. Nauzir Dalal to take the proceedings forward. Thank you, and over to you, Nauzir.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the Q4 and FY25 earnings call. I'm pleased to be speaking with you today in this new chapter for our company. Two key milestones or key events: we crossed the 500 crore revenue threshold in this financial year, so we are now part of the 500 crore revenue club. And equally importantly, our shareholding has been transferred from Quess Corp to Digitech Solutions, which aims to be a global provider of AI-driven digital transformation and business process solutions. You will be aware that this change is pursuant to the three-way demerger of Quess Corp, which was effective 1st of April 2025. I'm joined by our CFO, Mr. Avinash Jain, and we look forward to walking you through our performance and responding to your questions. We will proceed with giving you a brief business overview covering our lines of businesses and follow it up with the detailed financial performance. Post that, we'll be happy to take your questions. I'm pleased to report 8 successive quarters and 2 successive years of robust financial performance. Operationally, we have achieved strong revenue growth with healthy EBITDA margin while expanding our offerings and capability. For the full year, revenue from operations crossed the milestone of 500 crores, as I said, and stood at 546 crores, up 23% year-on-year, adjusted for the divested compliance business, while EBITDA was at 130 crores, up 12%. The growth has been broad-based across both verticals. In line with our strategic intent, the overall share of our international businesses increased from 57% to 63%, a jump of 6%. EBITDA margins have been marginally depressed due to the growth investments we have made this year. Client-specific operational leadership and sales resources primarily, both for domestic EXM sales and shared US-based resources for EXM as part of the wider digitized organization structure. For the quarter, revenue from operations stood at 146 crores, up 13% YOY and 5% quarter-on-quarter, while EBITDA was at 35 crores, up 9% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Our cash position and collections continued to be robust. Our cash position as of March 25 was 165 crores, up from 132 crores as of December 24. Collections for the full financial year 25 increased to 574 crores, up 20% year-on-year. Coming to the operational performance for the businesses, we start with the EXM business. The EXM payroll business reported a 10.3% growth for the full year and 6.8% quarter-on-quarter. We added the highest number of new logos in all the history at 63 in FY25 with an ACV of INR 30 crores, which was up 50% from FY24. We have first-time wins in the PSU and government sectors, both in India and the Philippines. Our international focus on ESM sales continues with addition of INR 14.4 crore ACV, up 47%. Our overall international contribution to ESM revenues also moved up from 24% in FY24 to 30% in FY25. We posted good additions to our managed employee record base and continue to lead India's managed service segment. We possess 44.3 lakh employee records for the quarter, and our base now stands at just short of 15 lakhs at 14.8 lakhs as of 31st of March. We have made good progress on the partnership ecosystem and has also built good funnel and registered wins in the HRMS space, including for SMEs and SaaS. Our employee record process per FTE improved by 11%, both year-on-year, full-year and year-on-year quarter four. Our key service delivery metrics of payroll accuracy, on-time delivery and query tax continue to improve year-on-year, setting new benchmarks. Moving to the CSM segment, the CSM segment continued its growth momentum, and year two we crossed the milestone of 400 crore revenue, crossing the final revenue at 404 crore, which is at 29% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter sequential growth, supported by deeper penetration in our healthcare business. The full-year revenue growth was supported by a 16% increase in FTEs, reflecting the non-linear growth driven by higher productivity, automation and operating leverage. We also continue to grow the international business, which is now contributing to 3/4 of the total CSM business on a full-year basis, up from 72% last year. As it is margin accretive as well, it has resulted in 100 basis points margin expansion for FY25. We added 32 crores of new ACV in the full financial year across both new customers and new LOBs from existing customers. We have added a sales resource in Synergy for local and Southeast Asia sales and witnessing early traction. This is with a view to improve our field utilization in Manila, where, as you know, we primarily drive business in the U.S. hour. Additionally, all offshore sales resources for the parent CGI now carry all the CXM sales targets too. Our service delivery continues to remain green, and we continue to make efforts to infuse artificial intelligence into our current customer landscape. I will now provide a progress update on the two platform projects, Sparkly version 4 and Smart HR Buddy. We have successfully onboarded 130 plus customers onto our SP4 platform, comprising 25% of our payroll revenue. For Smart HR, we have added wins of 7 crore ACV, of which INR 2 crore is for the SME segment. We saw a remarkable jump in our net promoter score from 11 in FY24 to 55 in FY25 across both businesses, reflecting a strong endorsement of our customer governance and delivery excellence. Our relentless commitment on diversity and inclusion has been yielding results, with gender diversity improving from 44% in FY24 to 47% in FY25. We continue to receive high ratings and increasing feedback on social media, Glassdoor, Ambition Box, etc., a direct outcome of our continued focus on employee engagement. We also continue to encourage our employees to participate in the corporate social responsibility CSR activities of the company. Looking ahead, FY25 has laid a strong foundation for our journey as Audity Tech, and now under a new parent, Digitide Solutions, our strategy remains crystal clear. We are deepening client relationships, expanding our global reach, driving efficiencies through technology and AI, and building a future-ready, high-performing team. With our platform scaled, sales channels expanded, and execution culture intact, we are confident of delivering another strong year in FY26. With this, I would now like to hand over to Avinash to walk us through the detailed financials, and after that, we'll be happy to take your questions.
Thank you. Thanks, Sagar. Greetings, everyone, and thank you for your interest in AllDigiTech, the new entrant of the 500 crore plus revenue club, now a part of Digitech Media. Let me begin our performance on the operational revenue front. Revenue for the quarter stood at INR 146.1 crore, reflecting a growth of 12.6% YOY and 4.7% QOQ. For the full year FY25, our revenue reached INR 546.3 crore, representing a strong growth of 15.4% over FY24. Both verticals, CSM and ESM, have contributed to this growth. In the CSM vertical, Q4 revenue stood at INR 108.6 crores, growing 21.9% YOY and 3.5% QOQ. International CSM revenue grew 24.5% YOY, while domestic CSM grew by 14.6% YOY in Q4. Growth was led by international markets with 4.9% QOQ increase, whereas domestic remained largely flat. For the full year, CSM revenue grew by 28.4% YOY to INR 405 crores. Growth was driven largely by international markets, now contributes 74.5% of CSM revenues, up from around 72% last year. In the CSM payroll business, revenue for Q4 stood at INR 36.3 crores, marking a 10.3% YOY growth and 6.8% QOQ growth. For the full year, ESM payroll revenue grew by 10.3%. Notably, employee record volumes increased by 11.3% YOY to 172.4 lakh records, underscoring a strong operational momentum. Now, moving on to margin. EBITDA for Q4 came in at INR 35.2 crores, flat on a YOY basis, but up 8.6% QOQ. For the full year, EBITDA was INR 129.6 crores, growing 12.51% YOY. In the ESM vertical, margins remained healthy at 36% for the quarter 4. EBITDA for ESM was INR 13.5 crores, showing an increase of 22.7%, driven by volume expansion and better cost absorption. In the CSM segment, EBITDA grew by 30.1% YOY to INR 17.3 crores, in Q4 with margins improving to 15.9%, up by 100 basis points over last year. This margin improvement is due to increased salience of international business. Coming to the bottom line, PAT for the quarter, it stood at INR 19.3 crores, down 6.8% YOY and 3% QOQ, primarily linked to depreciation linked to our new Manila facility. For FY25, that grew 30.2% YOY to INR 83.3 crores, with PAT percentage expanding to 15.2%, up 160 basis points YOY. On cash flows, our operating cash flow for the quarter was INR 48.2 crores, a growth of 87.5% YOY, and OCF to EBITDA conversion remained strong at about 137%. Full year OCF stood at INR 121.3 crores, a 33.3% YOY growth. With this, I conclude the financial highlights and now hand over the session to moderator for taking up your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. and congrats on good execution. So my question is on the CXM side, how we are seeing the industry outlook on the healthcare side, like it was help us to grow significantly in this quarter. And also, what are the outlook going forward, if you can guide on that front?
Yeah, thank you, Jyoti. So on the healthcare side, as I mentioned, or mentioned in the past, we are looking to expand our capabilities into a bit of end-to-end patient lifecycle management, which covers, right from scheduling to care, aftercare, specialty lines of support, as also, the collection part, of the value chain. We are also looking to expand our existing relationships in healthcare, in Q2. As far as the CXM outlook is concerned, we believe that we should be able to continue to grow in high percentages, as we have done in the past, as we have surpassed in the past, and that should pretty much help us in good stead in the future also.
Okay, thank you, sir. And also, sir, I just wanted to know what kind of feedback we are getting for our software Buzzly, and how clients reacting on when we are shifting from earlier traditional to new like CPaaS thing. So if you can comment, SaaS per se. So what kind of feedback we are getting, and how is the industry, if you can give us outlook?
As I mentioned, we have transitioned almost 26% of our revenues, to the Smartpay Core platform, the outcomes which we have seen have been, in fact, the key KPI metrics of payroll tax and accuracy are in fact better for this set of customers, even for the entire overall. So clearly, some of the efficiencies which were expected, some of the shortening of the payroll processing time, which was expected as part of SP4, I think we are seeing early results in the right direction. As far as the market feedback on the Buzzly is concerned, I think what I can only say is that, we are getting good response from the market in terms of our ability to build funnels. So, we have guys for total Buzzly, our funnel is almost 27 crores at this point in time, of which we have won 5 crore. Again, on the SME SaaS market, in a short period of time, we have built a funnel of 13 crore and, one deal of about 2 crore. So, all in the right direction, I would say.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Harsh Kundnani from Ioneos Alpha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the opportunity. So now there are a couple of questions from my end. Firstly, if I look at the margins bit, if we look at the segmental margins, in both the segments, there's a sharp increase in the margins on a quarter-on-quarter basis. But that has not led to, as much increase in the, commensurate increase in the consolidated margins. So if you could just help us understand that.
Yeah, sure. I think one key aspect which I highlighted, which I'll reiterate, is that for this particular financial year, we have had to make significant investments in strengthening our operational leadership in Manila. Manila has been our growth center, from where we were, maybe about 18 months ago with 600 seats, we are almost touching close to 2,000 seats, as we speak in Manila. So we have had to make out of our plan, investments in terms of the operational leadership, the support leadership in quality, training, workforce management, all the support functions which we need to run BPO operations. So that has had a, that's a fairly significant investment that we made this year, which is of course built into our current year baseline. And I don't think that we will need to do anything significantly more next year, other than, maintaining at this level or marginally increasing. We have also made significant investments in domestic sales resources for EXM, and as I said, shared sales resources on-site in the US, as part of the wider digitized structure. So that's the other piece, which has impacted margins to some extent. And then the last piece is, you recollect that we have had the divestment of Upper Digital, which has led to a significant, profit on sales, which has flown down to our PBT and PAT. But as part of the transition process, we did have some extended period of notice phase and, as part of the transition process. So that again was unplanned and, not in the money, so to say. So while the positive side we have had, we continue to look at operational improvements in terms of, the basic process for employees. We have had some restructuring of our EXM portfolio, but again, we have not seen the full impact of this year because, as I said, of these unexpected costs in the transitioning process. So therefore, because of this, and of course Q4, the other phenomenon is that we have a lot of one-timers. Yeah. So therefore, Q4 over Q3 margins are benefited because we have the tax vouching and we have the one-timers in this quarter. So therefore, in that sense, it is not comparable. So therefore, we have to see improvement of Q4 over Q3. But for the full year, on our EBITDA margins, I think we are down by 0.9%. Avinash, you like to add anything?
So I think you have covered Nagar. Harsh, anything other than this, if you would like to know?
No, that's good enough. Second question is that any plans for any capital allocation plans, any plans for the cash sitting in the balance sheet? I see that, dividend is not declared in this quarter. Is that due to the demerger happening at the parent level?
I would just say that we are just taking a pause, to sort of go through the demerger process, and we'll see. I mean, if you have to make any incremental investments into our own capabilities or otherwise, so I think it's a pause, and therefore we have decided not to declare a dividend for this quarter.
Understood. And lastly, just on the EXM business, is it possible to quantify the one-time revenue from the tax processing fees and any outlook on the EXM business going forward?
So I think we are looking to bring back the growth, in terms of high double digits. The EXM growth this year was muted a bit because of certain elongation of the sales cycle which we saw in the market this year. While overall, as I mentioned, we have booked sales of incrementally about 50% at 30 crore GTV. But much of the sales came in Q3 and Q4. So the elongation of the sales cycle has resulted in us not being able to book revenues earlier in the financial year, to sort of get that impact this year. So we should see some impact, a positive impact of that next year. And we continue to sort of invest in our sales capabilities, in our marketing capabilities. We are continuing to build partnerships. We are adding resources, qualified resources as necessary, particularly for the international sales. So we believe that the EXM business should grow in high double digits in FY26. And we should correct, some of the muted growth which we saw in FY25 in EXM. The other question was in terms of the one-timer. Yes, I think it is a reality that with the new tax regime, that number will keep coming down year on year. So, I mean, the number this year is about 102 crores. This number was higher last year. I think at least 50% higher, if I remember, if my memory serves me right. So we will continue to see that, because we see a lot of our customers, employees moving to the new tax regime, and as you know, the tax vouching work related to, going through, employee submissions on, say, HRA or NTA or, some of the other tax regimes, benefits which were there under the old tax regime. So with that going away, this revenue, this one-time revenue which come every Q4, we'll continue to see a downward trend, but difficult for me to predict where that number could be next year. Yeah, but I would not be amazed to say that it may be lower than what we have seen this year also, as more and more organizations and employees move to the new tax regime.
Understood. Thanks a lot for this.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Raghuram NS from Your India Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, Nazar. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. A number of questions on both CXN and EXN. Let me start with CXN. Like what you mentioned, from where we were just about 18 months back of 600 seats all the way to 1,800 seats, which have already been announced, and you mentioned nearly 2,000 kind of seats. So, but one doesn't see that kind of ACV, you can say, announcement from a revenue expectation perspective. So what is driving whatever I have known of Altigi and the management team? Obviously, you guys will not really make this kind of commitment on seats without clearly getting that kind of a revenue commitment. So where is the gap there? And obviously, when you were running at about 600 seats, the revenue was anywhere around 550 to 52 crores in Manila. We are running at nearly 1,800 seats now, or at least 1,500 seats before you announced this. We are still running at about 84 crore kind of revenue on Manila or international. So I can understand that there will be a one or two quarter kind of a lag in revenue growth from the time the seat expansion is announced. But can you help us understand how this whole outlook for CXM is going to be in FY26, because we are all looking forward to the revenue growth matching the kind of seat growth that is happening.
For FY24 to FY25, itself we have seen a 28% growth. And, FY24 we were at 315 crores. You know, we have added about 100 crores or just under 100 crores at 405 this year. So we have added 90 crores of revenues. The Manila standalone itself, you know, the P&L, the revenues of Manila standalone has gone up from 90 crore pesos to over 127 crore pesos this year, you know, which is 37 to 150 crore. Incremental revenue has come in Manila itself. So I'm not too sure which numbers you're correlating to. Our revenues per associate at the organization level has gone up almost 5% from 8.5 lakhs to 9 lakhs per employee per month. So on an overall basis, of course, that includes GX and EXM. So, of course, as you rightly mentioned, we are conservative in that sense. Where we don't significantly invest ahead of time, so as to minimize the cost of their capacity. But I think it's going in the right direction. So when I say that, you know, currently we are about 1,800 seats in Manila, that does reflect in the financials for the year. And of course, 1,800 at this point in time. So it is further reflected in the financials for the coming financial year. And as I said, we continue to believe that, you know, that we will continue to grow in high double digits, if not more, in any cases.
Okay, I understand. I think it's a great achievement. I'm not trying to belittle what transformation the team has brought in from a Manila and international business perspective. I'm just wanting, obviously, 28% growth is very significant. Whether that kind of growth can sustain and maybe even accelerate, because we have seen nearly 100% growth in seats. So that was all that I was mentioning. Otherwise, it's been an amazing performance of growing that business. EXM, coming to that, it's essentially the same kind of, I can see some revenue, obviously you have been mentioning about the international business driving growth forward. How do you see this as you move ahead further into the FY26? Whether it will further increase, what will happen on a FY26 level? What's the outlook for FY26 from an EXM perspective, whether it is domestic and international business?
No, I think we will continue to focus on, of course, okay, let me put it differently. We are the market leaders in the domestic space. So there is no intent for us to slacken the pace of growth, the pace of investment, so that we continue to maintain our lead or, you know, enhance our lead over the number two or number three players. That said, international business does give higher what we call PEPM, the per employee per month realization for payroll processing, which on an average is nearly double than what we can under the domestic industry. So yes, we will continue to focus on the international business. We have also seen, our international margins, for example, and just give you for the last, by the smaller base, the international part of the ESM revenues has grown by a target of almost 20+%, while the domestic, being a larger base, has grown by 4%. So all of that is in the right direction. We continue to look at multi-country payroll. So going multi-country payroll is a key part of our FY26 strategy. We are actually onboarding someone from competition, in early June, who will help us drive the multi-country payroll working primarily with multinational organizations. So yes, to answer the question, we also believe that, we will continue to grow ESM too, in high categories, in the high teams. And there's no reason why we believe that should not happen. With again, a significant focus on international.
Okay. Thanks for that. At the corporate level, my previous shareholder or investor also asked about this cash on the balance sheet, as well as the fact that obviously there has been a change in the way last year was only about, there was a significant dip in the overall dividend that was given out. Previous year was much higher than that. So are we really making a commitment to the community that we are going to finally move significantly on the inorganic kind of side? Is that something that is on the anvil? And the second part was, you mentioned about the digitized sales team, some part of the costs being allocated. If you can help us with what is the absolute number that we are speaking about, so that we can build it into the model going forward.
Yeah, I think that's not important whether it's a digital initiative or otherwise. I mean, because as an organization, as an independent organization, also we would have to make investment in sales, and particularly US sales, if we have to continue to grow. I don't have that number readily with me, but So the point of that is that we have made investments, it's just instead of having, maybe two dedicated people, as I mentioned, maybe five or seven of digital sales teams will all carry a quota, for selling CXM for all the teams. So that's the only difference, but the fact that we would have to make investment in sales and US sales, is a given, and we can't move away from that. The second question on dividends, as I already mentioned, there is no change in our overall dividend policy, we want to maintain a consistent, predictable, dividend policy subject to certain, certain ranges or certain caveats. And we continue to do that. I mean, as I said, it's just a pause for this quarter, as we move to a new parent and, as we were settling down in terms of the corporate structure. And I'm sure, that the board at the right time in this financial year, will take appropriate calls. In terms of, when the next round of dividend payment should be.
Okay. Thank you so much, Nova. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Sanket Sushil Mithwalkar, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. One of the highlights of this financial year was that AllDigi Technologies has acquired PSU and government sector companies in Manila and also in India. So the contract has been executed, and is the revenue included, or only the contract has been executed? Acquired.
No, this contract, you're talking about the PSU contract, right? No, that is already signed up in Q4, So again, to be honest with you, it's one contract in India and one contract in Manila. But that was actually coincidentally both in the same quarter into the PSU business. And, you know, because as you know, public sector units, you know, do not outsource, and particularly a sensitive area like payroll. So I think that's the important part of it. And of course, as I said, it's coincident that we could get both in the same quarter. But it's a start, you know, and we'll try to see how do we continue to see how we can make small but meaningful inroads into the public sector space.
So it hasn't been included in the revenue. Only it has been acquired.
Sorry.
Has it been included? Has it started processing the contract? It started generating revenue?
The contract has been signed, you know, and then of course, as you know, it gets into a transition phase of up to 3 months, if not more. So the revenue from these two contracts will come in FY26.
Okay, and is it substantial? Like, how is it from the...
Not hugely, but yeah, but it's a start, as I said, you know, and it's a reasonable size. I wouldn't say it's small, but yeah, I think compared to what size of contract we get in the EXM market, I think it is on an upper average than the average contract. So it's higher than the average ATV which we sort of get in the EXM space.
Okay. And about the dividend payout policy, which is almost more than the net profit, if you could look at the last year, is it going to stay the same this financial year as well?
I've already said that. I think it's better if we move on to some other questions because I've already answered it twice for the...
Okay, sorry. These are all the questions from my side. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sanjay.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Raj from Arhav Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, please go ahead.
Sir, you commented on the outlook of the EXM part. I wanted to know the outlook of EXM business.
I've already spoken about that, Raj. You know, saying that we will continue to grow in, you know, high teens for both CXM and EXM.
Sorry, I couldn't hear it. Can you repeat it again? I'm getting sorry.
We continue to grow in high teens, you know, so high teens for both CXM and EXM.
High teens both for EXM and CXM, all right. And sir, what would be our outlook on the smart pay side, smart pay 4 and smart HR platform?
Yeah, so there's also mentioned in the strategic position, we have a transition plan to move all our existing customers to smart pay 4. We have migrated about 130 customers and about 26% of our revenues already. The balance is work in progress, and we should be completing that, you know, by around July, August of this year. On smart meter, we have been able to, build a good funnel for the upgraded product, which I can give you the details in a couple of questions ago. So we continue to get positive traction feedback from the market.
So will this transition be a bit aggressive for us? Yes.
Which one?
Migration to smart pay and smart HR. Will there be a bit aggressive to us?
Smart HR, so there are two different aspects. Smart pay is an internal engine. Yes, and over a period of time, as we complete the migration, as we see some further operational efficiencies coming in, yes, it should be a bit aggressive. Smart HR is a market facing one, and as we get new business, as we get new customers, as we increase revenue, yes, that too should be a bit aggressive.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Yash, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. And congratulations on a very good set of numbers. My question is, there is a very huge boom of GCCs domestically. So So how we are going to tap that opportunity? Like, so is that in the payroll we are going to do? And if that was the case, like, what was the growth we are expecting in the next couple of years? Yeah, or maybe down the line. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, so as you know, there are just under 2,000 GCCs in the country now. I mean about 1,900 GCCs. So you're right, we are, you know, looking at GCCs as a potential area for our payroll business, to grow our payroll business. So we have worked over the last quarter in terms of doing digital marketing campaigns and reach outs. We have reached out about 1,100 of the, you know, of the 1,800 GCCs. But what we also find is that all of these GCCs are very, very small. So, you know, the average size of these GCCs, you know, and it is, and that's likely it has to happen. I mean, you know, it's about 500 seats. So, you know, from an overall opportunity for an individual opportunity, it's not large. But we believe that, you know, the GCCs, once they come into the country, you know, they do grow over a period of time. So, you know, this actually, the GCCs actually fit in with our, you know, with our small scale strategy, you know. So we are actually hiring a person who is going to join us next year, who is going to drive GCC sales for us. But it may not give us large numbers, because as I said, on an average, you know, the GCCs in India, or including the GCCs that have come in, don't have headcount in excess of 500 seats.
Okay. Super. One more question, sir. So obviously, I think most of these KPOs and GCCs, they already have a global giant, obviously, on there. Now, how difficult is for our company to make this transition and win those orders from them? Yeah.
So, from a limited audience perspective, there are wider opportunities for GCCs within the digital domain. As I said, for the limited audience perspective, it's largely payroll. And, unless the GCC has a global partner who will perform the payroll. So, for example, let's see, a parent is using, say, ADP, for example, and they do decide, you know, that they will just extend ADP, you know, to the GCC in India also. Then to that extent, yes, there will be, you know, maybe some difficulty for us to break through. But otherwise, I've also seen that a lot of GCCs, you know, follow their independent path, because an ADP, you know, is quite inflexible in terms of customization, particularly for the Indian taxation landscape. So we see a mix of both. I mean, we see GCCs are very open to talk of payroll, you know, with us. We already actually support a lot of GCCs both in India and Manila, by the way, in payroll. And so we continue to do that. But of course, as I said, for the larger digital company, there are various possible plays in terms of, you know, some of the digital offerings, you know, which is part of the wider digital umbrella.
Yeah, great, sir. Thanks for answering the question. All the best, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take follow-up questions from the line of Raghuram NS from Your India Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, no, just thought I'd take the opportunity of having maybe lesser number of questions around. So on the management team build out, you mentioned that you had to obviously focus and get a much bigger kind of a layer of management built out in the Manila operations. Is that something that is more or less at its end now? How do we see that? And also at the sales full level, obviously when we are going to support something which is maybe double the size of what we were supporting till about a year back itself in terms of number of seats, how do you see the US sales team and maybe wider geographical reach out? How do you see the sales team build out also going in the next year?
Yeah. So as I said, Raghu, I mean, I believe that, you know, the operational leadership or the senior leadership which we need in Manila is largely in place. You know, yet of course, as you get new business, as you get new customers, each of them will come with its own mandated spans in terms of, you know, what level of leadership we require to supervise the new customer, what level of support spans are required in terms of quality, training, WSM. So those specific customer-related investments we'll continue to make. But we believe that the investment rate so far in terms of overall country, economic country management leadership, I think should be sufficient, and we don't see any significant add to that, at least in FY26 is concerned. And on the same side, the Raghu, I'll rejoin the thoughts which I mentioned, you know. So we did hire a sales resource in the Philippines, you know, to look at Philippines local and Southeast Asia business. We have added, a couple of sales guys, in the U.S., but including, you know, senior, very, very senior sales teams to also sort of, help us monitor and, provide local leadership on the ground, for our sales teams. So that is also there, and of course, this is something which we continue to evaluate, because even domestically, for example, sales has come with its own challenges in terms of if someone doesn't perform. So we have also tightened the bottom quarter management process of our domestic sales team. So yes, a little bit of that sure. Or, adding sales people to capitalize on emerging opportunities, that will always be there. I give you two examples. One is a person to drive sales in GCCs thematically, another person to drive multi-country payroll thematically. So those tactical calls on the sales side, whether in India or the US, will continue to take through the year.
Okay. So also, is this a very clear indication that going forward, the sales teams within for the overall digitized platform will be the way to go, and there will those people will have a specific sales target within their overall target for AllDigi? Is that the model that's being put in place now?
We are moving to that model. So, and more particularly on the international US sales side of the CXM side. There is no fixed model. There could be some people who would, maybe have target of doing 90% sales for AllDigi, which is the BPO sales. Some others, their primary role could be to do, IT sales, platform sales on the insurance side. But they may have a smaller portion of their target in terms of CXM sales. So yes, as a concept, I think the sales team in the US will work much more closely and try to cross-sell services and products across the wider digitized framework.
Okay. No, I understand that, because obviously those are some of the questions that will come up now as we move into a more integrated digitized kind of platform.
Yeah, well, locally for CXM, I think the focus, the sales team is separate, because they are India-based and doing payroll, which is a very different product to sell. So the domestic India sales team for payroll remains distinct, while, the US sales team, is in the process and will further get unified.
Okay, so we are not really in the process of putting together a specific EXM sales person or team for the developed markets.
As I said, we are, but that will be done out of India for the moment.
Okay. We don't have anybody who is going to be based out of the US.
Yes, I mean, that's the position at the moment. Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Nolan. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah, so I would like to thank all of you for the time that you've given today. On the back of our strong results in FY25 across all parameters, supported by investments in key business drivers over the past 2 years, we are well poised to capitalize on the market opportunity and continue to deliver superior financial and operational performance. With this, we would like to close the call and look forward to interacting with all of you again in the future. Thanks.
On behalf of IIFL Capital Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thanks for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.